Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome back to the Review of Daft, a Doctor Who podcast, your home for Doctor Who news and reviews every fortnight.
Hey, there we go.
Slightly different.
Slightly
I thought
different.
I'd change it up a bit today.
A variation on a theme.
Yeah. I'm Matthew Toflow. I'm joined by Billy Garrett-John, as always.
Hello.
How are you doing, Billy?
I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, I'm doing very good. I spent most of today watching Silver Nemesis.
Very good.
So I am happy. And I watched it after closing time. So it took the sour taste out of my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, see, I did it the other way around. I watched closing time first. I set myself up for shitness, and then I thought anything that comes afterwards is going to be far more refreshing. So I did the dirty on closing time, really.
I'm in a much calmer place, you know, mentally in that case. So we might have a bit of a contrast of approaches for it. I don't know. So any Doctor Who news to get to before we start? Well, I mean, we can kind of talk...
Tumbleweed.
Isn't there, like, a rumour about all the new Who Doctors coming back for the 60th?
Yeah,
there's
going to
be,
around.
Like, a couple of specials in the 60th year.
That was from The Sun. Yeah. The Sun revealed that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe.
Take it with a dump truck of salt.
Yeah, we'll soon see. Christopher Eccleston was mentioned. But, you know, given the relationship between Russell and Chris,
and that whole period of time probably isn't going to be the case. And Matt saw Christopher Eccleston.
I did,
in person.
I did.
And he was bloody tall, apparently.
He was very tall, very big man. Yeah. I was shocked. But he seemed nice enough.
Christopher Eccleston is a tall man, is your main takeaway from the news segment for today's episode.
That's the news. Breaking news. Christopher Eccleston's tall. And very nice. we have news that, I don't know if you've seen this, is in the latest Doctor Who magazine.
Mm. I haven't bought DWM for ages.
Yeah, you won't
really
buy this one, it's got Peter Davison on the front.
Yeah, definitely
it was revealed that the Sea Devil story has actually been co-written with a new writer.
Oh, right.
And I can't remember her name, Ella something, I want to say. Ella Rose, maybe?
Yeah.
I probably butchered that completely. But yeah, so
interesting.
She co-wrote the story with Chris Chibnall, and she put a thing out on Twitter about it as of recording this today. And it's also directed by a newcomer, like Eva the Daleks was.
Yeah.
It's also her first Doctor Who, well, first TV gig.
Pretty cool.
So really interesting.
We got a bit more of a confirmation about what the situation was with the specials for next year.
Yeah.
Because I think Matt Streven said at Gallifrey 1, and we mentioned it in the last episode, Legend of the Sea Devils was her last one.
Yeah.
Or was originally her last story.
Yeah.
And people are kind of trying to be working, well, how does that make sense? Because you've got the Centenary coming later, so was it not sort of planned out like that?
Yeah.
And I think it's more that they just added the Centenary on it. It was the added bit for that year, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
So... yeah,
there we go.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Now, today we've got to talk our favourite monsters.
Yes.
Represented here.
By Jerry.
Why do we love the Cybermen so much?
They're just big and imposing and scary and just unstoppable and just, I don't know, it's the blank faces and stuff. When I was a kid, I just thought, man, they're just great, aren't they?
Yeah. There's something about the way that they... Yeah, it's how imposing they
are. Like, and the way they move, that sort of slow but unstoppable movement.
And totally believable as well.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, everybody gets these augmentations to their own skin these days. Like, yeah. And a lot of people have plastic in them.
Yeah.
Whether that's to enhance something or it's to fix something or whatever, you know, like cybernetics is becoming more of a thing. And it was, you know, cybernetic is cool as a concept. Mm. So we decided to watch their two worst episodes, according to the DWM 2014 poll.
Well, we were going to watch the best and the worst, weren't we? But then I was so distraught that Closing Time did better than Silver Nemesis.
Than Silver Nemesis in the 2014 poll. Yeah.
Although I think someone did say to me that actually Wheel in Space ranked possibly lowest. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, but watching Wheel in Space is pretty boring.
Yeah.
I think we'll be scraping the barrel of episodes to review when we come around to doing Wheel in Space until it gets animated.
Yes.
If it gets animated.
So join us when we're in our 60s and Wheel in Space comes out.
And we get BritBox beamed directly into our brains.
Oh, yeah, they're BBC on BritBox or something. I don't know, ITV bought them out.
ITV bought the BBC share in BritBox.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, you know, necessarily mean that the BBC's presence is going to be lesser on that platform. It's just that they own the way that TV works these days is just a bit mad anyway. Like the way that I work for a company that's owned by ITV and we're making a program for CBBC.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it doesn't actually mean brand warfare anymore.
No.
You know? Like if you have, oh, what... You work for ITV, does that mean the BBC won't hire you? It's not really work like that, you know.
That's nice. It's good that sort of
tribalism. Absolutely.
It reminds me of like the Nintendo Sega thing, like in the 90s, where they would literally in the adverts be like
taking the piss out of each other. Yeah.
Like, how would you get away with that today?
I mean, I sometimes
maybe
see,
on social media, but
I see buses around the centre sometimes, like Bristol, don't settle for Virgin Media. Broadband because it's really slow, get BT instead.
Really?
And they actually like have a dig at the other consumers.
Well, fair enough.
It's really weird. So yeah, Silver Nemesis and Closing Time.
Yeah.
Let's start with Silver Nemesis.
Yeah.
Because you watched it first. It's a palate cleanser before we have to start talking about Series 6.
Yeah.
And James Corden. You know, we'll get to it.
Oh dear.
I thought we'd just get this out of the way. UK number one.
Right, 1988. I don't know, I haven't got a clue.
Nobody will know. First Time by Robin Beck.
I know Beck.
I don't think it's Beck.
Is it not?
I think it's another Beck.
Oh.
It's Beck's lesser
Beck.
Brother, the lesser Beck.
His cousin.
Shall I see if I can find it?
Yeah.
Robin Beck. And I'll play a little bit through. Oh, here it is. The movie was Fish Called Wanda, by the way. So that's not too bad. It's not setting us up for like a great atmosphere, is it? You know, like, God. I'm already bored. Anyway, so that was your cheap pop culture rewind for the day. So how did you first watch Silver Nemesis? I guess it would have been on VHS, right?
I did,
but
it was taped off UK Gold.
Well, there we go. The only way to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, and it was with the really good old ident where it was like the molten gold being poured into the stuff. Ah, kids today, they don't know what they're missing out on.
I don't remember when it looked like that.
Do you not?
I remember when it went from UK TV gold to just gold, and then it just focused on comedy.
Yeah.
It was like, oh,
that's I remember when it was UK gold. UK gold, then UK TV gold, which was shocking. Then gold.
They changed the name.
Yeah.
I first watched this on VHS in the most bizarrely designed VHS that Doctor Who's ever had. Like, what
is going
I know
on?
It's the 25th anniversary, but it kind of barely feels like a 25th anniversary story.
Yeah.
But the design for it's a green foil VHS cover,
so it's not even silver.
No.
You think, oh, a Silver Nemesis. We're doing foil green. And then, it's just photographs, isn't it? And like, sort of like weird diamond.
There's a weird diamond shape in it. And Silver Nemesis has got its own like logo design.
Yeah, is that meant to be like the arrowhead? Is that meant to be like the top of the arrow? I can't remember.
It's ugly. Really ugly.
Yeah.
But on that VHS, something that I look for online as well, and you watch the full thing for, was the making of Doctor Who Silver Nemesis.
Which
we'll get to the episode in a bit, but this is really interesting. So it was a New Jersey broadcasting station.
Yeah, something like that.
NJN.
Yeah.
And it's apparently the most comprehensive behind the scenes look at a classic series Doctor Who story.
Yeah, well, they do. They go into everything, don't they?
It's really interesting. Yeah. On YouTube, there are two clips that I found. One is of Sophie and Sylvester rehearsing and eventually shooting the scene where he comes out the TARDIS with the bow.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other one is David Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Talking very, in a very thespian way about playing a robot, which is great. So you watched the full thing. Anything you kind of gleaned from it? Any interesting things you could dig out?
You can use a coat hanger to be a Cyberman's gun.
That's true. That's in the YouTube clip as well.
Yeah. That Cyberman actor who cuts all of his ear on the wire.
Yeah.
That is nasty. I remember seeing it as a kid and being like, shit.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
It's pretty horrible.
Yeah. Like, what is that doing in there?
And interesting, I read kind of afterwards that they would let them in to record this one, I guess, 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
There's some involvement with the royal family, or they tried to get
the anyway. Prince Edward in it.
So they thought that having this shot for it would have a better appeal for the show in the States.
Right. Because
it's royal family related.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it was a really fraught production, apparently.
Yeah.
So
because Greatest Show in the Galaxy overran, because obviously they had all their issues with the asbestos.
Yeah.
So yeah, they had they didn't even do a read through for Silver Nemesis. So it was like they were turning up and just like rehearse it here and get on with it.
You can sort of tell that from there's the rehearsal with Sophie and Sylve, and you think, would you not have got these lines down a bit more by now? And it's kind of noticeable, I think, when they're rehearsing that bow scene. And apparently they had a bit of a falling out during the making of it.
They
both had a tiff and made up.
Aww.
But apparently it was that sort of stressful that you made Sophie and Sylve have an argument.
That's insane.
That's pretty bad. But I just think it was so like tight making it that it just, you know, tensions bubbled over and
those things. Sylve mentions on the DVD that in that final scene with the Nemesis statue and in the hangar and the Cybermen have just been killed, and then, you know, they have that conflab about, I'll tell you your secrets and all this stuff. During that bit, they were like, we didn't know our lines. It was just like, right, here you go, do it.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh shit. He said, but you can feel the tension. He said, and it actually helps the scene. And it's kind of right, because there is a tension in that scene that's really, really good, and it really, really works. But
let's talk about it. So you've reviewed Silver Nemesis on the YouTube channel before.
I have, yeah.
With Johnny.
Yeah.
I adore Silver Nemesis.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's a nostalgia from watching it on constant repeat.
Mm.
But it's sort of like the Remembrance of the Daleks for the Cybermen within Silver.
Yeah, very much.
Because you get those really cool action set pieces.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is kind of the highlight of the whole thing.
Yeah.
From like an action point of view.
Yeah.
And because the story, there's not an awful lot there.
Yeah, I think that's why I enjoyed it as a kid, because of the action stuff. Because who doesn't love seeing a load of Cybermen come out of a really good spaceship and then just have a fight with some neo-Nazis? Obviously, I didn't really know what a neo-Nazi was back when I was a child.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty good. Great explosions.
Really cool. And it's just nice to see like physical pyrotechnics going off, because it kind of sells that it's actually happening. There's actually a real firefight and stuff. But yeah, that whole opening of part two is so cool.
Yeah, bit of Kef.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. Oddly, for a period of time where the samples and the noises are the most annoying that they could possibly be, Kef kind of makes it palatable.
Yeah, he does make it work.
And you think, oh, if you were just working with different instruments, what would this sound like?
Yeah.
You know, what would this sound like with an orchestra?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, big and epic, and it's catchy and melodic. Yeah. And he's obviously trying to do stuff with different instruments.
Mm.
You know, there's flutes and sort of stuff.
And I don't know if this is this the introduction? Oh, it might be used in Remembrance as well. Like, he sort of has a little theme for, like a little action theme for Sylve and Ace.
Oh, right.
Because it's used in Battlefield as well.
Ah. That's good. I am the Doctor before I am the Doctor.
And
far less annoying.
Far less in your face.
Interestingly, I want, you know, jumping ahead a little bit to closing time, part one of Silver Nemesis got 6.1 million viewers.
Right, that's good.
Which is more than the overnights for closing time.
That's because it didn't have James Corden in it.
Exactly. Yeah. but the kind of subsequent parts sort of didn't do as well. 5.2 mil for parts two and three.
That's a shame. Like, you'd think with such a good cliffhanger as having a load of Cybermen turn up,
people would stuck around.
Oh, we'll see what goes on here.
But maybe that's just like, oh, it's Doctor Who. Mm. Everybody's just like, I can not watch next week. Like, yeah, cool cliffhanger, Cybermen are back, but
yeah,
you know, it's going to be crap, isn't it? It's probably what a lot of people
it probably was. Doctor Who, it's probably what they thought back then. Unless you were my brother, who was obviously hooked.
Genuinely hooked. To Doctor Who.
Oh, it's a shame. I should have asked him before we came on. She said, well, what was it like?
Thought, watching.
Because I guess that was probably his... Actually, he might have had Revenge of the Cybermen by then.
On VHS.
On VHS.
Yeah.
And the Dapol toy might have been in his possession by then. So I guess he would have known potentially what a Cyberman was.
The really thin-legged...
Very thin-legged.
Bizarrely limbed Cyberman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a gymnast.
Yes!
Very strange.
Live Cyberman.
Should we... So... I always find it difficult to talk about stories like this that I really like. I'm kind of like, I don't really know where to start with it. Because I just want to outpour with all the things I love about it. And
well,
then...
like, when I reviewed it last time, I was quite harsh. I haven't watched that review because I hate watching back old reviews. But I think I was quite harsh on it. And I watched it this time round and I thought, you know, I don't want to be accused of Warriors... of the deeping it.
I want to
really try and get into this.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
I
did enjoy it.
Cool.
You know, even the dopey stuff, I was like, ah, well, at least it's not Closing Time.
That's true. I think that...
I can put up with Dolores Gray, whatever name is turning up.
Yeah.
Because it isn't James Corden. If it was James Corden in that limousine...
Yeah.
Going, aha! Oh, I'd have gone, fuck off.
Let's not even start. Because, you know, it's not a 25th anniversary Doctor Who story without Dolores Gray popping up, is it?
Of course not.
That could have been, you know, maybe the Brigadier pulls up and lets them in. Or
in his limo.
In his limo. You know, something.
With his lady friends in there. don't tell Doris, Doctor.
Load of girls in there. Briggs become a pimp. That seems really weird.
It is odd.
It's really strange.
There is some weird stuff that happens in this story. Like, I think episode one is really good.
Yes.
Episode one is like, okay, there's a real sense of setting this story up and you sort of feel like, okay, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they just go, fuck it. Let's just add all this mad stuff in.
I think that the best version of this story, actually, I think it's like an hour.
Yeah.
The one single hour-long special.
Yeah.
Because when you watch the extended version,
yeah,
I seem to remember a lot more stuff around Windsor.
Yes.
In present day, 1988. But when you watch it in the context of the episode, it's such a weird diversion.
Yeah.
So the Doctor and Ace start off listening to Courtney Pine. Courtney Pine has a cameo.
Yeah.
Ace gets her cassette signed. And it was at that point when they do the diet.
The Doctor turns around and is like, oh, don't you get embarrassed asking for autographs?
I know.
And I was just like, oh, the irony of that.
I know. I wonder if anybody's asked him that in his accent. I find that bit really, when I was watching it the first time with Ace and the Seventh Doctor falling in the water, I thought exactly what you said about Tom Baker just being the Doctor and David Tennant just being the Doctor. I think Sylvan and Sophie are the Doctor and Companion.
Yeah.
Just the way that they are.
Yeah, yeah,
the way
yeah.
they interact with each other. There's a genuine chemistry between them. And they're true to their characters. It's not like you kind of think, oh, Ace wouldn't say that. Or the Doctor the Doctor was a little bit harsh with Ace there. They are so perfectly matched.
Yeah.
And they're at the same level with each other. They're just, I think they're the best Doctor Companion on-screen pairing.
Fantastic.
Just amazing.
Really great. And it's a shame it got cut short and we didn't see where it was all going to go, really. But yeah, they're perfect. You know, Ace is easily one of the best companions ever.
Yeah.
She's just such a great character.
It's easy. It's effortless. And
it's
pleasant to watch them on screen.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Amy Pond and Rory and the 11th Doctor and that whole dynamic.
Yeah.
We've talked about the 5th Doctor and his companions in the past. There's a kind of animosity or there's a little bit of kind of bullying there. But like this is just really, they just get on.
They just like each other.
They like to hang around with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a nice sort of dynamic, that kind of parental figure.
Yeah, you know they poke fun at each other, but it's all in good humour. And really, it's a really good TARDIS team. I don't know how anyone could not like those two together.
I know. But they complement each other. And you can feel like Ace is actually growing through the years that they go on. And I think obviously the ultimate idea was for her to be left on Gallifrey to join the Academy and become a Time Lord.
Yeah.
And that obviously didn't happen.
No.
How do you, watching Ace in this, in terms of the trajectory for her character going forward,
yeah,
if they'd made that season 27,
yeah,
would that move have made sense? Where do you think a character's sort of going at this point? Because Andrew Cartmell's influence is definitely having an effect here. It's starting to take hold.
I mean, when I first discovered that that was what they were going to do, I went, what? Mm. And I still don't really understand that. Like, why? Why would she end up on Gallifrey? Why? Yeah. I just didn't get it. You know, they don't have humans there. I guess that it's more for the Doctor to sort of influence Time Lord to be like, look, you know.
You need a bit of humanity in there.
Yeah, you know. So I can, you know, I guess having not seen it, because we can't see it, we can't really see how it would have paid off. But initially I remember thinking like, what?
Yeah.
But I do like Sophie Aldred's idea that she'd have the big headgear on and it would have like badges.
Pin badges in her. Yeah, that would have been cool. But yeah, they're great together. I really enjoyed them. And they have dialogue scenes together. They just, they fly by.
Yeah.
Which is really easy to watch. But I was kind of thinking, when, in their first conversation after they leave the Courtney Pine gig, they land in Windsor Castle in the basement.
Mm.
Is that supposed to be present day at that point, or is that back in time?
That's present day.
That is present day. It's kind of a pointless scene, because they kind of walk around the archive.
Yeah.
They kind of accidentally drop some stuff.
He puts a fez on.
He puts a fez on.
Prophetic.
Very much so. And then, like, what's the point? Do they learn anything from that scene?
They learn that the bow's missing. Right. They go to collect the bow, but it's not there.
Okay.
De Flores has got it.
I think there's just a bit too much hopping in that first episode for me.
It's something you kind of expect more from New Who. Mm. Like a Stephen Moffat story would, you know, I'm trying to think of, is it Spells of St. John, or it might even be Wedding of River Song, or one of those where it's like, oh, we're going to go here, two seconds, I'm going to make a funny quip to this character and then go off and collect this thing and then go to this place.
Exactly.
And then, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's all very fast-paced and zipping about. So it is kind of a precursor to that.
Mm. It's a world tour of Windsor.
Yeah, through the ages.
Yeah. But it's at this point when we go back in time, we're introduced to one of the main antagonistic pair.
Yeah.
We've got Lady Peinfort and Richard.
Yeah.
Who I think are the best characters.
They are really good.
In this. And I think they're one of the best late 80s guest cast.
Yes.
Members.
Yeah.
And they go under the radar. Nobody ever talks about how good Fiona Walker is in the story.
Or the guy who plays
Gerard.
Murphy? Yes. I saw him live at the Theatre Royal in Bath.
Ooh la la.
In the History Boys. Yeah.
Was he very good. Did he have the full regalia on? Was he...
No, and I didn't realise it was him because he changed so much in the intervening years. He put a lot of weight on. And it was only afterwards, so I was like, wait a minute, clicked. I was like, he's in Doctor Who. I was like, oh, I could have bought the VHS. It could have gone to sign it or something at the stage
door. Fuck off. I'm acting.
Yeah.
I'm an actor.
I'm in a proper play. I'm not doing Doctor Who.
It's because they play it totally straight, though.
Yeah.
That, like, they are characters that we've said before, like, they've walked in from another show.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it's true that it happens through the whole script, but definitely, is it Kevin Clark who wrote the script?
Yes.
Tried to write all of their dialogue in iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
And it really works. They definitely have a completely different structure of talking.
Yeah. There are some scenes where it's definitely there. Yeah. Apparently, J&T, when he found out, was like, we can't do that. It would have been good. This, you know, I mean, it works in the scenes where it happens. But yeah, no, I like their characters. I mean, yeah, she veers slightly off into over the top territory as it goes on.
Yeah,
but I think that's fine because she's going mad with power, or you know, the possibilities of having all this power.
Yeah, she does become a bit less threatening though through that. Like at the beginning, you know, she bloodlets.
Yeah.
The philosopher.
Yeah.
Played by Leslie, his name, French. Who was?
No, is it?
Yeah,
it French?
Leslie French. He was up for the First Doctor.
He was up for the First Doctor.
And, you know, they obviously use his blood to travel in time.
Yeah, it's really dark.
Yeah, and she's got poison darts and glorious evil.
Yeah.
You know, she's got all these great quotes.
Yeah.
And then as she gets further and further through it, she sort of becomes a bit more of a ranting, raving lunatic. And
sort
of, like, she's led around everywhere by Richard. She's in such, like, a... Her mind's gone. She's in such a daze.
Yeah.
She has to kind of be helped around. And she does sort of lose her...
Yeah, and I think what also doesn't help, again, probably because, you know, it was such a fraught production, you know, she's in all these very brightly lit scenes. She works well in the Jacobean dark scenes when she's all menacing. And then as soon as you've got her, like, walking around on the streets of Windsor, and then you get the skinheads.
And that stuff's great, though,
isn't it? It's so bonkers. But interesting, watching the behind the scenes, Kevin Clark said that for him, his idea was like, oh, you know, the skinheads were like the yobbos of the 80s. Mm. But for someone like Richard, like a Jacobean man would carry like an 18-inch blade with him at all times.
Yeah.
So they'd have just stabbed him.
I was thinking the first indication that they haven't quite committed to them being totally evil.
Yeah.
Is the fact they just strip them and string them up.
Yeah.
Like if they were true to the character, because Richard is a murderer.
Yeah.
Like he's not a great dude.
No.
Like he clearly kind of comes round to the side of good, but that's only because he suddenly falls out of service.
Yeah.
With Lady Peinfort. But I was kind of thinking what they need to do is they need to walk past the bush
and they're
fucking scalped in the corner, you know? Like that's what it would be.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
And that would have been so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it'd been very dark. Maybe not scalping them, but you know, if they found them dead and be like, oh, you know, Lady Peinfort's calling card.
Yeah, yeah, they've been poisoned with the arrow.
Yeah, or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something unpleasant that would have made this, because at that point, it very much feels like, in the story, the Cybermen are just listening to jazz.
I know.
Sylvanasa just strolling around listening to jazz.
Shall we talk about the Cybermen in this story?
Yes.
What do we think they look for a start?
Because they've look got great,
the
don't
chrome.
They look great.
Yeah.
I was watching it, I was like, ooh, one of those, a full size one of those
would be quite nice.
If I had to pick any of them, I think I'd go
you think
for
I
that
go
one.
For a Sylvanasa's one?
Yeah.
It's a nice look, isn't it?
They look great.
Mm.
David Banks is back as the Cyber Leader.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mark Hardy's sub lieutenant.
Mark Hardy's back, and I think it's—I forget his first name. Something Oral, Mark Oral,
right?
Dave Oral, something like that. I think he was at Pandarica actually. I think the three of them did a panel together. The first one.
Is he the Cyberman that sort of speaks more like this?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Oh, you know, there's a couple of weird noises they make in this story.
Yeah, there's a lot of like screaming.
Yeah.
I want to know who did all the like the.
All the.
Yeah,
I think that's all David Banks.
Yeah,
it sounds like him.
Yeah, David, do a. Just
can
a,
you give us
a ramble of different noises?
It's interesting watching the rehearsal footage of him. Because you hear his natural speaking voice, and you think, is that how much modulation's on it?
Mm.
He's not actually speaking with an incredibly deep timbre.
Yeah,
he's speaking relatively normally.
Yeah.
You know, he's putting certain emphasis on certain words.
Yeah.
But he's not really speaking any deeper than this.
No.
So interesting that the modulation is that harsh on his voice that it really brings it down low. He's not an identifiable voice when you hear him talk normally.
Yeah, it's more the patter of how he speaks, isn't it, that you sort of identify with? Because he has a very interesting way of forming the sentences.
He does. He kind of goes up and then down.
And I love that.
What makes him, is that what makes him such a good cyber leader?
I think
he's
so.
He's one of the best monster actors
in
the show's history.
Yeah.
And it's just the way...
The
way he holds himself, the way he moves, he kind of, his feet are totally rooted to the ground and he sort of sways with his hips.
Yeah, he sways his hips.
All of his kind of movements.
He moves with his crotch.
He does.
Crotch first.
Yeah, that's a power stance.
That is a power stance.
Because they're so right. When David Banks, as the cyber leader, walks onto the bridge
in Earthshock,
it's one of the best bits of physical acting in the show. And he's clearly a very talented physical actor. Because to make that costume not look hokey.
Yeah.
And to actually have some kind of power and presence.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot of work.
Yeah. Because it's a shame, like, you see him, and then you'll, like, see Cyberman number 3 in the background.
Scratching its helmet.
Yeah, you know, or, like, just sort of flopping about a bit, or, like, bumping into something. And
exactly.
Like, oh,
you
what
kind
a shame.
Of want David to gather them all around and go, like, we stand like this.
Yeah.
But in the documentary, he sort of says, it's nice to have people you've been Cybermen with before.
Yeah.
Because, you can have cyber chats and all that
cyber
kind of stuff.
Chats.
But yeah, he's just brilliant.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get David Banks on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because he is interested in cyber lore as well.
Like he loves it.
He wrote one of the Virgin New Adventures and the Cyberman book as well.
I've got that New Adventures book. I haven't read it. I must read it.
Yeah, I've read bits of it.
Yeah.
I've kind of skipped the bit where it's like, well, where are the Cybermen? I want to see how he writes the Cybermen, you know, because I'm a bit attention deficit like that. I was like, where's the Cyberman? I want to see all the blowing up bits. So it kind of meanders around sort of part 2, I think it starts to lose its steam quite a lot.
Yeah, you get the big action sequence and then it's like, now where do we go?
Yeah.
You know? It's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing as, we've got the bow, no, we've got the bow, you've got the arrow, no, I've got the arrow, and it's a bit like, oh, okay, what?
Yeah. Should we talk about the plot?
Yeah, go on then.
So every
25 years,
a comet called Nemesis slams into Earth.
Yeah.
And it usually brings some great disaster. So 25 years prior, it was the assassination of President Kennedy.
Yeah.
Before that, was it...
the televisation of an unearthly charge.
Everything went downhill from there, Ace. And then, I mean, what major catastrophic
I mean, really, they could have said, rather than the assassination of Kennedy, they could have been like, oh, it was that Hand of Omega business.
Yeah, well, that would have made sense.
Yeah.
Call back to, I mean, the Hand of Omega is mentioned. That's referenced.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's lots of references in this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Nemesis statue comes to Earth and it's a weapon, isn't it? It's like it's a Time Lord.
Validium, isn't it?
Validium. Is it a Time Lord?
It is a Time Lord construct. Invented by Omega and Rassilon, apparently.
There you go.
And probably Sylvester McCoy.
And probably the other.
Yeah.
Or
the Timeless Child.
Yeah. So yeah, and then stuff happens, and the Cybermen.
Could you imagine if they in Flux, you know, there was a thing and it was constructed from Validium?
Yeah.
Or something. What a cool god that would have been! You missed out there, Chibnall, you silly sod.
I think the Nemesis statue is a really cool.
It is a cool thing, yeah.
And I think it would be cool to see it come back.
Like we've got the technology.
Yeah.
It's just someone in a reflective suit made of the same stuff that they used for Superman.
Yeah.
But you imagine it being something like the T-1000 in Terminator 2. And
definitely. But it could be easily done like that now.
Yeah.
And so the Doctor's job is to kind of send it back on its way, make sure it doesn't fall into the wrong hands, because you've got the neo-Nazis trying to get it because they see it as some kind of last crusade, holy grail thing.
And it's really interesting, when she has that little conversation with Syl when he's setting everything up, and she sort of says something like, oh, you know, once I've done this, then will you grant me my freedom? And he's like, no. She said, oh, but you said you would. He's like, well, things aren't over.
Yeah.
And it all sets up this whole thing of like, the Doctor is really up to no good. Yeah. What is he doing?
It's one of those early sort of...
Yeah.
And I completely forgot about the chessboard as well.
Yeah.
Like, is that one of the earliest sort of New Who style threads?
I think so.
Stuck the chessboard in there.
Yeah.
And then, how many episodes later is it? Curse of Fenric, they get, you know, Lady Painfort's chessboard is mentioned in that story.
Penultimate serial, isn't it, for season 26, I think.
Yeah.
Curse of Emmerich. This was quite a while.
It's all set up.
And it all set
up, really
yeah.
Cool. It's a really, really cool idea. And it's the same chessboard, isn't it? It's exactly the same chessboard.
I think so, or very similar, yeah.
Yeah, so it's brilliant. It's like an early sort of Bad Wolf or Torchwood sort of thing. That's really neat. What are the sort of aspects of it that don't quite work, though? Because it's obviously not one of the best episodes whatsoever. I like it. I'm a fan of it, but there's not an awful lot of other things going for it.
I think there's sort of too much going on, not necessarily that, but it lacks focus.
Yeah,
because I think it's that thing of like, oh, well, let's just add this random American woman in a limo for shits and giggles. You know, let's do this, let's do that, and it just sort of feels a bit like, oh, you're veering away from something that could be quite a tight story, really.
Yeah. And it's not an anniversary story.
No, not really.
The closest we get to that is when the Doctor and Ace land in Windsor.
Yeah.
And there's a little tour guide group going round. And I've got the list of notable people who are in that group.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nicholas Courtney.
Yeah.
Andrew Morgan. So directors, Andrew Morgan, Peter Moffat and Fiona Cumming.
Yeah.
And Graham Curry.
Right.
Who had written The Happiness Patrol.
Yeah.
Anthony Ainley was asked and didn't turn up. And there are a couple of other people, sort of like,
I want £5,000
and you'll take photos of me and put them in Doctor Who magazine. He didn't turn up, but I think it's really cool to have that
there,
but it's not really forward facing. It's not really Doctor Who.
You wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't know they were there.
You wouldn't know it's a 25th anniversary for Doctor Who. Having silver in the title is an allusion to the Cybermen, so people could very easily just go like, oh, well, it's just like a Cyberman title.
Yeah. Like, so, I mean, Remembrance of the Daleks feels like more of an anniversary story.
True.
Because it's Daleks, it's returning to where it all began.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff about the first Doctor. Yeah. You know, it feels more fitting. This one just doesn't quite work.
Mm.
That was something I was going to say. What Doctor do we think Lady Painfort has encountered? Because she refers to him as a little man. So maybe it's either going to be Hartnell or Pat Troughton.
I can picture maybe Hartnell.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense. Because you get the idea that they've kind of done, they've done battle across the universe and all that kind of stuff. And you think, well, if it's of the dark times, talking about the dark times, it's got to be an early... Maybe it's Ruth. Maybe it's the fugitive doctor that they had battles with. Who knows?
But maybe Fenric had battles with Ruth.
Maybe. That would be cool.
That would be
maybe
cool,
we should just have like... when they do, okay, so Fugitive Doctor series, Lady Painful episode. What else have we got? What's the one from the Five Doctors that they mentioned? The Terrible Odin.
Terrible Zodin.
Terrible Zodin. And then
Fenric.
That's three decent villains you've got there.
Yeah.
A Sutek story.
Sutek story would be good.
Dalek story.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sorted.
Yeah. What else is there to talk about? Cybermen versus Jazz.
I like that. That is so Doctor Who.
It is meaningless.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's Jazz.
not a Jazz fan?
Nah.
No, I didn't mind it. My brother hates Jazz. When my mum loves it. I never knew this.
Really?
Yeah, mum was like, oh, I love Jazz. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Since when?
When it's all that freeform stuff, I prefer sort of bluesier.
Yeah, I agree. I would prefer that, yeah.
When you're like, I can't like tap my...
No, because you're just going mad on a saxophone.
Yeah.
But it's very impressive.
It is.
But I do love that. That is like the perfect, that is the most Doctor Who-y thing.
Yeah.
Like no other program would you get an image of robots listening to jazz.
Exactly.
And then have neo-Nazis turn up. And then have like Jacobean characters turn up.
Oh, we haven't really talked about DeFloris.
DeFloris, yeah.
Yeah, so he's the leader of the Fourth
Reich. The Fourth Reich. Well, I don't know why I went Irish.
Yeah, it sounded more Scottish. That. Played by Anton Differing.
Anton Differing,
who
yeah.
is the de facto Nazi in all old movies.
Yeah.
Apparently only took the job so he could watch Wimbledon in his hotel room.
Yeah.
And was not in good health. He died a year later.
Gosh.
Yeah, apparently people noticed on set he wasn't very well.
Wow.
He clearly doesn't know what's going on.
No.
But he gives it a good go.
He does.
But he's definitely a forgettable villain
in
the grand pantheon of Doctor Who villains.
I do like how they set him up to be a baddie, though, in the first shot, because he sees that parrot and he's like, I'm going to kill that parrot.
Yeah.
what a great way to translate on screen.
This
he's
dude's a
baddie.
A bad guy. He does not like the avian.
And then they
wildlife.
Do it. They do the same with Lady Painfort, because she goes to shoot the pigeon.
True.
But I mean, pigeons
would have been
a pain
great
in the
if
ass.
David Banks had gone, that pigeon taken. And this Mark Hardy, yes, leader.
No, so you've got a parrot, pigeon, seagull.
So, and some of the effects in it are quite good. Like you say, with the spaceship.
Sorry, I was just thinking about what bird. It'd be like a magpie, wouldn't it? They like reflective things. Magpies, swarm of magpies attack the Cybernetic.
Imagine you just get gold-tipped beaks.
Yeah.
And they're done for. Maybe that's how you'd attack. Maybe that's how you'd sort them out. I read David Banks didn't like the script because he's basically like, well, gold's just...
Yeah.
Gold, sorted. You just killed the character pretty much. Which kind of... does happen.
Yeah, it
you
does.
Know, like Ace, is it the same sort of argument for like making it like the Daleks weak or something? Because she takes them out with a slingshot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it's gold. She's got to have great aim.
Yeah.
And she does have good aim. They do become cannon fodder at this
they
point.
Do.
Don't they
do. I mean, if Polly
can bloody kill one with a bloody cocktail of
this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is it's a shame when that happens. And it seems to be something that has plagued them from year dot. Because, I mean, look at Flux. You know, what's her name? The Irish girl. What's her name?
Belle.
I forget who I am. Belle. She's just like shooting them like they're nothing.
I know.
And it's like, oh, come on.
I think it's because they're robots. And it's like, oh yeah, you have a firefight with some robots and kill them. And it's like, it's not that kind of... And Closing Time, which we'll obviously get onto next, sort of does the, well, they're robots thing.
Yeah.
Like they convert people, but in action, indeed they're Cybermen.
Yeah.
But in action, they're just sort of robots.
Yeah.
Stompy, stompy it robot
is,
boys.
It is that thing of like, what easy monster have we just got kicking around?
Yeah.
We got a load of Cybermen suits. I mean, obviously, I know they redesigned them for this story.
Yeah.
But, you know, in subsequent appearances, like Flux, it's like, oh, well, we spent all that money refurbishing brand new Cybermen suits, so we'll reuse them.
Yeah.
It's a shame, really.
It is a shame. Yeah. But what do we, you know, anything else we can take out of it? Because I think generally we kind of like this story, don't we?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. You know, it goes a bit camp. And it's good fun.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that they tried to set up all of that Doctor Who mystery.
Yeah.
I like how it's so subtle. Like, it's not like Stephen Moffat, like, hammering
Doctor Who!
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a one line, and it's enough to make you sort of go, ooh. Even now, when you hear it, I still think, ooh.
That whole last scene.
It's so good.
I'll speak of the dark times. And Silver's face is like, shit. Yeah. Like, you do get the impression that there's a lot of really interesting stuff to unpack there, and it's sad it never happened.
Yeah, and unfortunately, with all the best will in the world, I don't even think the timeless children thing really, or the whole, what are they called? What's this secret cabal that he worked? She worked.
Oh, the division. Division. Yeah.
Christ.
I've forgotten all of it.
yeah, you know, all of that stuff. None of it quite. It's not quite the same level of exciting.
I think it's
a mystery.
Well, it's probably exciting and mysterious because it never got answered.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of interesting thing about it is you just got a picture like what would it have been like if we had all the stuff revealed to us, but. It wouldn't have been as good as Fiona Walker's performance sort of gives away.
Like, no.
She's so good at making you feel like there's a weight to the history between these two, and they really know each other.
Yeah.
In that same way that the guy who played
Swarm,
they've done battle before, and you can tell that there's
and
history.
I think that is actually probably part of the downfall of Flux, is that you have Once Upon Time... And you see them doing that battle, and it's like, oh,
actually,
it's just with some Time Lordy mates, and they've just some weird bloody SWAT team or whatever. And it's like that's nowhere near as good as just saying.
As you let on.
Yeah. You know, if you just left it at that, like, oh, we've done battle across time and space and all this stuff.
It's not some great intergalactic conflict.
No, it's like... just four blokes and three blokes and a dog in a bloody TV studio.
Love it. There we go. They're Silver Nemesis. I think we've kind of bled that dry.
I enjoyed it.
Do you think it's the worst, apart from Wheel in Space, which apparently ranks lower than it?
I mean, I would rank Wheel in Space lower
than this.
Silver Nemesis. I think just because it's long...
Yeah.
And it feels just like a retread of the same old stuff that they'd done already in that era for Troughton.
Are there any other Cyberman stories besides Wheel that you'd put lower than this? What about the Moon Base? Is that lower?
The Moon Base. Nightmare and Silver would go below
apart
Silver Nemesis.
Apart from the new series.
We
could put pretty much every Cyberman story apart from the Capaldi two-parter below it.
Oh, I don't know. I quite like Attack of the Cybermen.
I think it's just the Sayward joylessness of it. Mm. But this is camp and silly.
The Cybermen are hopeless.
Yeah, I know.
There's that one who's like got gaffer tape over his helmet. Why didn't they just put his helmet on?
I know, properly? and Michael Kilgariff has got a bit of a gut.
Fat controller.
That Cyberman. Cyber Sculpture's been destroyed.
It's that one that's in this one.
He's in this one, isn't he?
It's not as fun, so I think I think I have to put Attack below this.
Okay.
For me,
fair
personally,
enough.
But there you go.
I mean, I do like that. Otherwise, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Tenth Planet. I like Tenth Planet's a bit boring.
It is, but it kind of feels so seminal. It kind of has
to
be higher.
Yeah, you kind of have to put it higher, don't you?
Because that last scene is just so good.
Yeah.
You know, and the Cybermen are scary. So.
Yeah, they are creepy.
Well, we can talk about one story that's definitely below it.
Yeah.
And that is Closing Time. Mm. Let me take you right back to 2011, Matt.
Please don't.
UK number one.
I don't know.
Go on, you know it.
Do I?
Yeah.
Give me a clue. Hum it. Never mind the buzzcocks it. Come on.
Da 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 na 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 na.
Oh yeah, I do know this.
Na 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 Da, 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 da.
Oh yeah!
Go on, you know it.
Oh,
they have a link to Doctor Who, a tenuous link.
Do
to
they?
Doctor Who. Yeah,
it's something beautiful, isn't it? In that chorus bit.
Yeah.
Oh dear, I don't know.
What makes you beautiful by One Direction?
One Direction, okay.
Who, of course, Doctor Who Live, the after party.
Yes, of course.
We'll have to do a watch along of that one day.
Oh,
that would be great.
I'd like to watch it because I've only seen it once. I saw it on broadcast and I never saw it again.
Buried in the archive. Yeah. If anybody's got an off-air recording, not some kind of one where the BBC...
I think Chris Chapman said he might have a copy.
We'll get it. We'll get it from Chris.
I'm sure he said he's got it.
Perfect.
Like saved
we'll
on his like digibox.
UK box office number one.
What that was?
No. UK box office number one is...
Oh, sorry, the film.
Yeah.
2011. I don't know. Some Marvel thing.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Oh, really?
Which is when you start going, oh, God, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be in everything for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm already bored. I'm glad he's doing Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Takes up enough of his year that I don't have to see him in everything.
In everything, yeah, that's true.
So series six of Doctor Who. Where are we at this point in the narrative? So it's a split series, isn't it? This one.
Yes, it
it's
is.
A split series. So this is September 2011.
Yeah.
It's the only episode. Is it episode 12 in this
yes,
one?
Yes, it is.
It's the only episode one. 12 that isn't the first part of a two-parter.
Yeah.
And it's shit. It's, yeah. I mean,
it is poo.
Yeah. It was definitely one that I remember at the time going, nah. And it was definitely one I remember the next day at school, everybody going, do you see Doctor Who last night? Yes. Oh, they solved it with love again, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yes, they resolved it with love. I know. I didn't like it either. Yeah. Don't worry.
I think that was... Wasn't this the first time they did it? Was this the first, like, really big, on-the-nose love one? And then it, like, happened a bit more later on? Like,
maybe.
It happens in Hyde, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hyde is like, oh, they're not
the
really monsters.
Each other.
They just love each other. Oh, yeah. Shut up.
It's a cop-out, isn't it?
It is. It happens so much. I don't know why... Why can't monsters be evil? Why can't monsters just be bad?
Yeah.
They were in the old days.
Boring, apparently.
Oh.
Also, contextually, where we are, the first series of Sherlock's already come out.
Right.
Tintin comes out in a month.
Right.
Which Moffat had been writing since 2007.
Okay.
Got delayed because of the writer's strike.
Yeah.
And then when he came back to it, he'd been given the job on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And so apparently Peter Jackson, Spielberg, as Doctor Who fans, said, it's all right, go off and do that instead. We'll get somebody else in.
Yeah.
But... You know, it was the start of that feeling that Doctor Who fans started to get at this point, where you think, is he doing a bit too much?
Yeah.
Is he not focused enough on the show?
Yeah.
And you know, that takes a level of thinking you understand somebody's work ethic and kind of going, can somebody juggle all that work?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody can. Think about how many fingers that Russell had in however many pies. You know, there was a lot going on there.
There was a lot going on.
And but he's very involved in... lots of things going on now.
Yeah.
So it's,
But I guess that was all tied to Doctor Who. It's not like Sherlock, completely different thing.
That's true.
Tintin, completely different thing.
That's true.
I mean, I guess he wasn't as involved in Tintin as he was obviously Sherlock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sherlock is the detriment of Doctor Who.
Mm. For this tenure.
Yeah, Sherlock. Sherlock is the worst thing to happen to Doctor Who.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, there we are.
Let's unpack that a bit more.
I've put on a t-shirt.
What do you explain to the viewers? What do you mean by
Well, because I think he was more interested in doing Sherlock. I think he probably got a bit bored with Doctor Who.
Mm.
Quite quickly.
Mm.
I think he thought, Christ, that's a lot of hard work.
Mm.
Don't fancy that all the time.
I can do 3 episodes every 2 years.
Mm.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
God, you just...
I think maybe he just thought, oh, I need something as a palate cleanser.
But you take on a whole other TV show that you're executive producer and writer of.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hefty amount of work.
I'm amazed the BBC let him do it. Really. But I'm amazed the BBC said, whoa, hang on a minute.
I suppose they thought, well, you've got a co-show running with Mark Gatiss there to take the load off.
You can
off.
Take the load, yeah.
Yeah. But you can tell that Moffat's fingerprints are all over Sherlock.
Yeah.
You know, like, Mark Gatiss doesn't write like that.
No.
For better or worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't write like that.
Yeah.
This is all Stephen, surely.
Yeah.
There you go. The first thing that struck me watching this is how awful that costume is that Matt Smith's wearing.
It is appalling.
And then he takes the jacket and the Stetson off
for
like half the story anyway.
Yeah.
You think, what was the point of putting him in that outfit? Was it just to differentiate between the two parts?
I think it might have been.
Just a different colour bow tie.
It is horrible. I don't know who signed off on that.
I reckon it was Matt Smith.
Do you reckon?
I reckon he liked that look more than the tweed look. Because I'm sure there's some photos of him when he was doing screen tests.
Yeah.
And he's got a long coat on in one of those.
He does, yeah.
So maybe he's like, oh, I'm going to get my long coat. And then the Stetson ties in with the
cowboy thing.
And maybe it was like a BBC America thing. Can he wear a Stetson in every episode?
Who's the costume designer from Red Dwarf that comes in?
Howard Burden.
Howard Burden. You know, then he comes in.
Yeah.
And then it's
the best.
The best costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that purple.
Get him out of that stinking, bloody military jacket.
Yeah.
Because it's so like David's.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's David's, but green.
Yeah.
And it just looks weird. Colour. It just doesn't go with a bow tie.
No.
It's so odd. I just don't know what that was all about.
It's horrible. Talking of costumes, we see the Cybermen for the first time. They're trying on skinny jeans in the locker room and they need a bit of help. Cybermen in a department store. Is this the lowest that we've ever seen the cyber race? Is this their lowest point in their history?
Yeah, I mean, like, you think,
we have been trudging around in shit in previous stories in the sewers, but this is pretty bad.
This is pretty bad. Other monsters look at them going, guys,
come on,
you're buried under a department store.
Yeah.
We've at least got a couple of planets.
It's clearly Primark.
Yeah. It's...
Now, my claim to fame in this story is that a girl who is on one of the checkouts...
Not sure off ones.
No, but she did go to my college.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So... I was trying to work out when I was watching this.
Right.
I guess they're shooting it late at night when no one's in the store.
I would have thought so, yeah.
What are the rights for babies on those sets? Are they allowed to be up at that time?
I don't know.
I mean, they'll have multiple babies on set, but, like, are they allowed to be?
Bring out baby number two.
this one's broken.
I thought that. Crying and shitting himself. I was thinking this is a... You know, I don't want to go too much into this, I was thinking, you know, Matt Smith's got the baby, and there is a really lovely scene with him and the baby, and you know, he gives it a little kiss on the head, and it's all very, very sweet. And I thought, oh God, at what point are we going to end up going? That baby didn't grant permission to be used in this filming, so. Like, at what point?
I thought you were going to say, at what point do we find out that the actor that played Stormageddon's like a right wing nut or something? Like,
another, but it might be now.
There's another turf involved in Closing Time. Oh, great. No.
Oh, God, the third one.
I tried to find out the name of the actor who played Alfie. Oh, yeah. I couldn't find. Yeah.
Let's get that out of the way. Stormageddon. I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes on a bit too long.
Yeah.
The first line, it's funny.
Yeah.
The occasional reference to it, you know, but it's. Yeah. The doctor needs somebody else to talk to other than Craig because his companions aren't there.
Yeah.
And so he ends up just expositing to this baby.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's a lot of talking in this and not much actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, the Cybermen don't really get much of a look in, do they?
No.
And obviously they've distressed the costumes because the costumes are very shit by now. They've had a few runs and they're like, oh dear, these are looking a bit rude.
They still look okay, though.
They still look okay.
Because they're dark and they're lit.
They're lit well. And that whole Cyberman ship looks pretty cool.
It does, yeah.
There is one Cyberman whose costume clearly doesn't fit properly.
Really?
Yeah, because his shoulders are like right up here. He's got no neck.
Oh, no.
The silhouette of you is really wrong, and you're like the lead Cyberman. It's like, you need to pull your armor down.
That's dreadful.
This is like Attack of the Cybermen.
Yeah,
but
there's no difference. But the only difference between Classic Who and Doctor Who is 20 years.
Yeah, that's it.
There's still the same
issues.
It's
the same old shit.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, 100% the same program. I deny anybody who says it isn't.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I know you're not too fond of. I mean, I wasn't that against the baby stuff, but I like seeing doctors when they interact with kids.
Yeah.
Especially Matt Smith.
I put it in my notes, that scene when Craig's gone out and he's got the baby and he's trying to put him to bed.
Yeah, that scene's nice.
The stuff. That's really lovely.
I like the stuff in the superstore as well, with him showing the kids how to fly that helicopter.
Oh yeah, that's really good as well.
Kind of gathers them around.
Yeah.
It's always sweet when the doctor does that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, I like that. The whole thing is just dopey.
Yeah.
It's unfortunately. Oh, another link.
Yeah.
My brother worked with James Corden.
And he was a nightmare?
No, he was all right.
He was all right?
Nice. It was on Teachers. He was nice. They had a little chat.
Okay.
This was before he became famous, so he wasn't a big-headed dickhead.
Right. Should we talk about James Corden?
Oh, he's irritating, isn't he?
The thing is, the issue with this, I think, is that it's trying to do the Lodger too.
Yeah.
But the magic isn't there.
No.
Like, as much as I dislike James Corden as a screen presence, or, you know, I find him, you know...
as a human being.
He's irritating to watch. You know,
isn't he?
He's one of those people that you can't quite put your finger on it. But
have you seen that Limmy thing where Limmy talks about why
he does the impression of his laugh? It's so good.
It's that falseness, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's there.
Yeah, and he's bang on the money.
But I tell you what isn't there.
What?
That same chemistry that Matt Smith and him had in The Lodger is totally non-existent here.
Yeah.
I gathered that they probably just didn't gel as well on the set this time. Maybe James Corden had gone full James Corden and he was just not... pleasant to work with on this one? Or
I reckon by this point, James Corden was like, I'm better than this.
He's looking at the States at this point, isn't he? He's just about to make the jump. He's already made Lesbian Vampire Hunters.
Oh yeah, that was a thing, isn't it? Paul McGann's in that.
Is he?
He plays the priest in it, I think.
Oh my God, Paul, come on. Yeah. We'll have to ask him about that at some point. Cybermats.
They're really good. That is the best thing about this episode.
What have they converted though? Honey badgers. What's wrong with their gums and their teeth? I don't like that. I even prefer the bristles on the tomb ones because at least they're weird and creepy.
Yeah,
this is just a bit too on the nose. Like, how do we make it frightening? I'll give it organic teeth.
Yeah,
it's just a bit like. Nah.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind them. That is the thing that I have the least issue with. I think in this whole story.
Cybermats, yeah. They look cool. The redesign of them. They look great alongside the Cybermen. They've done a really good job of porting that over. Cybermats were supposed to be in Silver Nemesis.
Really?
But I think Mike Tucker did a design for them.
Right.
Which I think is the one that turns up in more than 30 years in the TARDIS. Okay. It probably is.
That's cool.
It is cool, isn't it? They rejected it.
Yeah.
So instead you get that really lame bit where the police officers get gassed
by
that thing and it leaves all this white powder on the floor.
It
obviously hasn't discharged properly.
Cocaine. Cokeheads at the Millennium Stadium.
The bloody Skinner to turn up again.
Millennium Dome.
No, it's not a Dr. Light episode. It's a Companion Light episode.
Yeah. Oh, that I hated that bit where
they just turn up.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck are they doing?
They're living in Colchester now.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. And then she's the big billboard. That is such a weird journey for a companion to become a bloody supermodel,
because
or whatever she is.
You see, so Asylum was it the first bit of this second half? Was Asylum the first episode?
No, Asylum's the following year. Asylum hasn't happened yet.
Oh my God, I get so confused with this time in Doctor Who.
So we've had Let's Kill Hitler shit.
Yeah, yeah. That was the first episode
that
of the
was
second
the
half.
I remember that just being appalling.
And then is it... No. I know, and Dinosaurs is the year after as
Dinosaurs
well, isn't it?
Dinosaurs is the year after. I don't know the episodes in this season.
The Ganger two-parter.
That's in the first half.
Not A Town Called Mercy, that's the year after.
That's the year after, yeah.
Let's see how many we can name. Impossible Astronaut, Day of the Moon, Curse of the Black Spot.
Shit.
The Ganger two-parter.
That's okay. And people really hate that story. I actually don't mind it.
No.
I think that is the one that I have the least issue with out of this entire season of turd.
Yeah, I'd say.
It's all right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
At least it's a two-parter.
Yeah.
There's stuff going on in
it.
The finale.
So it's Let's Kill Hitler.
Let's Kill Hitler.
Is the one straight after the break.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there isn't. So we've got the Ganger one. Then it's A Good Man Goes to War.
A Good Man Goes to War.
Which I remember people raving about how brilliant it was. And I remember watching it thinking, this is shit. What are people enjoying about this? I don't get it. I don't get the love for this season.
I think there's plenty of time to discuss this because we get the final scene and it just brings everything back about that year.
Yeah.
River, Madame Kavarian, this shady cabal with the eye patches.
Yeah.
Who are also in league with the Silence.
Yeah.
Silence look fucking great.
Silence are fantastic. I love the Silence.
Such great design.
Yeah.
It is, you know, Stephen Moffat going, can I do another monster where you look away and something happens?
Yeah.
But it's cool.
It's a really cool design. Yeah, I really like the Silence. It's a shame that it got entangled in all this shit arc.
Yeah.
Because it is a shit arc.
It is a shit arc. The Sonic Screwdriver in this story, I think it's one of the most egregious uses of it.
He's wrangling it all over the place, isn't he?
Fucking laser bolts come out of it.
Yeah.
On two occasions.
Yeah, what's that about?
And then they use the special sound effect, hidden sound effect.
From the TV movie.
Yeah.
And you can see, it's been, I can't remember the website, but there was a website which had little sound bites and they got it off of that website.
Because you can hear the soundtrack.
A bit of the soundtrack,
You can hear a bit of the TV movie soundtrack.
Get the table.
It's really badly mixed, that.
Because it's like a really poor sound quality. Because it was like uploaded onto the internet in like the 90s.
Yeah.
Like,
I know exactly the website that you're talking about.
It was all like animated GIFs of Daleks and TARDISes.
What was on
around.
That? Davros saying,
"Yeah,
exterminate,"
it was great.
Aunt Mabel is in this from Come Outside.
Oh, Linda Baron. Linda Baron, yeah.
Linda Baron's in this. That's nice to see.
So that's another Doctor Who alumni coming along.
Captain
so
Rack from Enlightenment and the singer in, for Gunfighters.
There'll be blood upon the sawdust in the last chance saloon. Do you like the Gunfighters?
I do like the Gunfighters.
I like the Gunfighters.
Yeah. It's up there in terms of the historicals from that era, I think.
Yeah, I know people hate it, but I like it.
That and the Aztecs, I think, are the easiest
I do like the Gunfighters
from that era.
Because it reminds me when my brother was doing a lot of Amdram back in the day with a company called Wops. They did like stuff like Oklahoma and Annie Get Your Gun and all this sort of stuff. And I always used to say to Dad, it's like, this is Wops doing Doctor Who. And it is. It just feels like some old
Amdram theater.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I am the Doctor.
That is a really good piece of music. Shame they just use it all the time.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It does kind of kill it. And it's at this point that they...
Series 6 is...
Every fucking episode.
I just get this impression that Matt Smith just has to go for a piss and it's just there.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what it's like? It's like Doctor No, when Sean Connery is just kind of walking around his hotel room and they play the Monty Norman theme. It's like, what? He's not doing anything.
He's just walked from there to there, farted in between, and yeah, Monty Norman's come
nuts,
out.
Nuts. But it's nice to hear it because it's a great piece of music.
It is a great piece of music. I remember at the time thinking, my God, play something else.
Yeah, I know. It does get really tiresome after
I got a funny feeling that maybe they were just like, oh, we need to save money somewhere, so we'll have less music from Murray.
It does, and it gets less and less. It does, less, to the point where you're just like, this is from two seasons ago.
I hate that.
And this is the mix from the CD soundtrack as well. This isn't like they've pulled it out of the archive or they've done a different recording or a remix. This is literally track 12from the Series 5 soundtrack being played.
That was my one complaint about the new... I don't think it really happened so much necessarily in the Chibnall era, but certainly with like Moffat and Russell's time, I miss having completely new scores for every story.
Yeah.
I hate that like library style of, well, we'll record so many tracks and just loop it and do it.
Yeah.
It just feels, I don't know, a bit cheap.
If you ever feel like you're missing out on watching or listening to Murray Gold Series 5, Series 6 soundtracks on TV, turn The Apprentice on.
Yes!
Because they use it all the time on The Apprentice. Yeah. It's just become library music now.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that theme tune from the beginning of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when Arthur comes down the steps.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. That's used in everything. Yeah, it's just become library music. Like Murray Gold's just become the library music dude. I'm going to ask you a question, Matt.
All right.
Silence will fall when the question is asked.
Oh, fuck me.
What is the question and what does any of that mean?
It means nothing. It's all nonsense bollocks. That's what it is.
Have a go.
The question is Doctor Who.
Yeah. And what is the silence? Does it literally mean the silence?
Oh.
The silence will be defeated if the Doctor asks, if the question is asked.
Well, they're a church, aren't they?
Yeah.
Church of the Silence. Let's see if I can remember. So, Church of the Silence. Silence will fall. The Church of the Silence will fall. And I think it means everything. So I think it means like literally the end of everything.
Right.
But it's like a bit of a double meaning because he's trying to be clever.
That's what gets confusing about
it.
Because it's a nebulous concept anyway.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to add like a double meaning. Yeah. Or it's like, but what does it mean in the beginning?
Yeah.
Before you start adding these things on top.
Yeah. So everything will come to an end because by answering the question Doctor Who, by the Doctor revealing that his name is actually Jeff, the Time Lords will come through Amy's crack.
Yes.
And the Time War will begin again.
Okay.
And the universe will be destroyed.
Okay.
I think.
Right. I'm there. And how does that tie into him being killed at Lake Silencio?
Because if he's dead, he can't answer. He can't say, my name's Jeff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a little reference to 22 Jump Street.
Thank you. My name's Jeff.
Yeah.
God, that hasn't been heard on the internet for about three years, has it? The COVID-19 pandemic put pay to a lot of memes, and that includes my name's Jeff. Yeah. Okay. That's the first time I've understood. And then somebody in the comments is going to go, actually you've not quite got it right. You're nearly there, and then we're going to go,
oh, fuck off, then. Come
on. All right, then. Because actually, if you watch Pond Life, there's a reference to it. It's like, fuck me. I have to watch 9 different spin-offs. Anyway.
It is a shit.
And what happened in the finale?
Cause, I never remember it.
Because this is the one with Winston Churchill.
In a toga.
In a toga.
Matt Smith with a beard.
Matt Smith with a beard. The train going into the pyramid.
Yeah.
I remember watching the trailer. That was one of the last times I watched a trailer for Doctor Who, until the Jodie Whittaker era, where I remember going on Gallifrey Base afterwards and being like, right, look at frame by frame. Yeah. Who's that behind that door when it cracks open? Like, what's going on there? Because I don't remember anything about that finale. I remember very little from Series 6 in general.
I was thinking about this. I think watching Closing Time for this was probably the third time I've ever watched Closing Time. Possibly the second time, actually.
Yeah.
I think actually it was the second time I've watched Closing Time.
Yeah.
And no, I did it in my rerun, so this would have been the third. And then literally the same for most of the episodes this series.
Yeah.
Because I just remember thinking, I'm done with this programme. I'm going to watch Torchwood.
We should probably do a Series 6 watch. Maybe do the opening two-parter.
Yeah, now I like that story.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Well, we should do that then.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Maybe we should stick with that and do that opening. Or what's the lowest ranked Matt Smith story? Probably Curse of the Black Spot, isn't it?
Oh, that is shit.
That's pretty low down.
That is a
poor Hugh Bonneville.
Oh, what a bad story. What are they doing this series?
I don't know. There's so many people that love this series, though. There's so many people that Series 6 is their favourite.
I know, it's mad.
I don't want to come across like... But I don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
I don't understand it.
This is where the rot set in for me and my love of the programme.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, they've all gone downhill now.
And there are, you know, on the whole, there aren't many things that we're just like, don't get it.
Yeah.
We try and find something
in
there.
Yeah, we do. But...
Let's get something out of this. What's the best part about Closing Time? And not individual scenes, like, because I agree, I love that scene with the baby. That's good.
Cybermats. Hey.
Cybermats. It's kind of...
I do think that all the stuff with Linda Barron thinking that those...
There are a couple.
And that's funny.
That scene when he's like, I'm going to kiss you, Craig.
I fucking hate that.
Do you not like that?
I thought it was so.
It goes on a bit too much.
And then Matt Smith is there.
Yeah.
Come here.
Go on.
So he's like this. Yeah. And then he's there. He's literally wanking the Sonic.
I can't tell he's trying to do with it.
No, Norman. I'm like, why are you wanking that?
But then he's like, what? How does he use his Sonic?
Because I don't know.
He's like, he's doing this and he's doing, and then sometimes he's got the thing out and it's got two settings now.
Yeah.
Because it's got a flashlight on it and it's got a flashlight on it and then it's got this. So, I mean, it's a nice Sonic screwdriver though. It's a nice.
It is cool.
It's a nice prop.
Yeah, it is good. It's a great toy.
And it's a great toy.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't. Series 6, stay away from me, man. I don't like it.
I mean, like when you compare the Matt Smith one to the Peter Capaldi one, which is just an over-designed
mess. Yeah, I know, but that's because that's like, oh, we've got to sell toys, man.
Yeah, it is. That is the toy one.
Yeah.
That is in a Batman DC Comics parlance. That is like the Joel Schumacher of Sonic Screwdrivers, where it's like, you need to make it toyetic.
What a load of bollocks. Anyway, that's Closing Time.
Anything else that we need to... Madame Kovarian...
Oh,
we never find out who she is.
No,
she's
no.
just like, oh, hello, I'm Madame Kovarian.
In the shadows.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
No.
You're a shit baddie.
Yeah.
You're a shit baddie because you have literally no character.
You don't.
Your character is...
I'm evil.
You're a bad old woman.
Yeah, I'm... Because is she even in charge of the...
Well, I fucking no.
Church of Silence?
I don't think she knew. I don't think Stephen knew. I don't think anybody knew.
And what's the eye patch thing about?
That is so you don't get your head frazzled by a silence. So you remember.
Okay.
I remember that.
Okay. Right.
Because that's why in the Series 6 finale, they've all got bloody eye patches on. They were all wearing eye patches.
Yeah. Oh, God, that fucking story. I love it.
I turned around and they were wearing
eye patches. Closing Time. There you go. I can't get any more out of it.
It's a very apt title for that era, Closing Time. I think it is Closing Time. This is going down. Closing Time.
How did they steer that ship round again? Because it's obviously... But for some people, it's not. For some people, that's their favourite era of Doctor Who. But
God.
I can't watch it without thinking this just isn't... it's not working.
No,
Something about this is not quite right anymore.
Yeah.
It's Series 5, brilliant. You know, on the whole, there's, you know,
there's a few duff ones, but that's the same with every, like, it, most seasons.
Yeah, and you'll always get highs and lows in a series, but Series 6 is just, it's on another level of just...
Oh, God Complex, that's one. Night Terrors. That's another shit one. That was shot in Bedminster.
That was shot around the corner, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Night Terrors isn't great. What was that even about?
What's the baddie in that? The doll thing, that's cool. The peg dolls, they look cool.
Is it not that the kid's own nightmares and imaginations? He's an alien, isn't he?
The little boy's an alien. I think so. And his nightmares, he's like psychic or something. And his nightmares are like manifesting. I don't know. Maybe I've just completely come up with an alternate story, which is better.
I didn't like the story at all.
No.
It's still...
I just want to refer to my... I didn't look at my notes at all for Silver Nemesis.
No.
Because it was just like, I know that's...
I know that story inside out.
Yeah, I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
Whereas this...
I was trying to find links between them. There's lines, you know, references to, have you noticed the power's been going out recently?
Yeah.
I thought, is that, you know, it's trying...
Is it?
I don't know.
My last note is, I cannot begin to describe how much I loathe the River Song stuff.
TikTok.
Oh, God. I'll stick her in a spacesuit. What does it all mean? Whoa, it doesn't mean anything. Oh, I just hate it all so much. I just don't get it. Like, there's nothing. And then I remember at the time, it was like, the Doctor is officially dead. He is dead on Lake Silencio.
I know.
It is definitely not a robot. It's a fucking robot. But, oh no, it wasn't, because Mini 11th Doctor was inside the robot. So he was there, really. Ooh, freaking bollocks. It's so crap. Hate it.
I think Matt needs to... We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Yeah. It's time for that part of the show that we've just decided to do for these next two episodes. It's viewer questions. We've asked you to submit your questions on Instagram and Twitter. We're going to go through a bunch of Twitter ones here, and then in the next episode, we're going to do a bunch of Instagram ones. Cool. And we're going to try and keep it generic so that if anything kind of happens in the intervening weeks, because we're double banking today.
Yeah.
We're double wanking today. So if you see any kind of things going on in the world of Who, unfortunately, we haven't been able to cover it.
He's going off on a secret shoot for the Blu-ray collections to New Zealand.
Exactly. So, I'm flying
speculation.
What a budget they'd have for that if they flew all the way over. We want you to do a documentary about the superannuation adverts. Right. Okay. Talking about superannuation, this one comes from Jenny, Dimensions in Jen.
Oh.
Best three of these, very canon, on-screen, 90s specials. So I'm going to go through as many of them that I recognise as possible. Search Out Science. Search Out Space.
Are we talking about the actual...
The Sharda kind of linking
Sharda!
Material.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The microphone probably...
Dimensions in Time.
Yeah.
Whatever this is with Sylve with a toadstool behind him.
Oh, I have seen that.
I like
Sylve with the long hair.
Yeah, it works really well. I mean, it works well in the movie as well. TV movie, obviously. The superannuation adverts. Destiny of the Doctors.
Why does the Master... That's a very interesting shot.
It's not a great image of Anthony Anger.
I feel like I'm his todger.
Oh, yeah. Curse of Fatal Death. The linking stuff for
the Crusade.
That is the Crusade. Doctor Who Night. The
Web of Caves.
Web of Caves. That's Death Comes to Time.
Yeah.
Real Time.
Yeah.
Sharda Animated.
Yeah.
Shalka.
Yeah.
Right, three of those. Which ones are you going to pick?
Okay. Best ones. Right. Nothing from the bottom.
Yeah.
That's sorted.
Yeah. So none of the animations.
None of that.
No.
Right. Dimensions in Time.
Yes, yeah, same.
TV movie, because it's the TV movie.
Yeah.
And
Ooh.
That the third one's tricky.
I think it has to either it's either going to have to be Tom Baker and Doctor Who Night, or Tom Baker doing Sharda.
Doctor Who Night.
Doctor Who Night.
We can eradicate a version of Sharda from the universe.
Oh,
and no,
Cleopatra.
What a woman. Oh, we can get rid of that. That's fine.
Yeah.
This is from Matthew Purchase. If you had the choice of all 97 missing episodes being returned, but there will never be another new episode of Doctor Who, or those 97 are gone forever, but there will be constantly be a new series of Doctor Who, which would you choose?
Oh, that's a tricky one.
Is it?
Oh, really?
Mm.
That's a tricky one.
That isn't hard in the slightest.
Nah, you would have to say more Doctor Who.
There we go.
Let the old ones go away.
I don't think that's
can
hard.
Can I do an alternative? Can I say we can remove series 6 from the archives?
Just from existence.
From existence. Yeah. And get all the 97 back.
I'll do that. Sounds good. What would you like included in a Wilderness Years Blu-ray collection set? What episode stories and what new special features from Philip Hawkins?
Well, okay. This is a good one.
Mm.
Obviously, some sort of a feature hosted by two strapping young men.
Yeah, that would be great.
Fans in the Wilderness Years. They might hail from Bristol.
Maybe, yeah.
That might be quite good.
Doctor Who Night.
Doctor Who Night.
All of the Doctor Who Nights, even the one in 2003.
Oh, yeah.
Everything right up until Russell T. Davis is doing a new version of Doctor Who. Up until that thing goes on the BBC website, it's all fair game.
Literally any reference, no matter how minute, to Doctor Who within that period of time needs to be on that box set.
Like somebody bringing something in to Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
Something like that.
If on the season 17 Blu-ray, we can have interviews with Lala Ward where she's talking about a mad fucking book. Have you seen these things What was it about? What was it? Something for dogs?
Something about, yeah.
It was bonkers. Odd. Oh, like the Zodiac for dogs or something.
Yeah.
Something mental. And you think, if that can be on there.
Yeah.
You know, any appearance where they've gone, let's get Sylvester McCoy in.
Totally.
Make a tit of himself because Doctor Who's that silly old shit show.
Yeah, it'll be like
it'd be that.
If they can get him on GMTV when he was, what was he talking about on GMTV? There's like that started going round.
Yeah, and there's I don't know if they'd have the rights to that. There was that one for the 30th anniversary, I think, which was Big Breakfast.
Right.
I think Gary Russell was on that.
Was he?
Yeah, with Sophie Aldred and some other people.
Yeah, I think so. All of the Death Comes to Time, basically everything that was on that photo thing that Jenny
that all has to be on that box.
All of that has to be on there. What new things would you commission? Would you do something about Dapol?
Something about Dapol.
Something about the exhibitions.
Maybe they could get the most renowned YouTuber for Doctor Who toys. To do that.
Yeah, who's that?
I don't know.
All of that stuff. All that stuff will have to go in.
Do that. Product Enterprise, you talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like other things like exhibitions. I think this would be a prime thing to do an exhibition documentary because
the start of like Doctor Who online sort of discourse, so like message boards, forums, that sort of thing.
I guess a documentary about the Virgin New Adventures, about Big Finish.
But you think with stuff like Doctor Forever, that stuff's sort of been done, hasn't it? They've done a lot.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
That whole Wilderness Years documentary is pretty good. Maybe you could do...
It's so long since I've seen it, I can't remember.
One feature about... Oh, no, that kind of is that documentary. All the different attempts to bring it back. Like the Amblin screen tests.
Yeah.
The few things, if it survives, of location material from when they did, we're going to do Dark Dimension.
Yeah.
Anything to do with that.
All of that stuff,
can go on there.
I mean, you know, it would never, ever happen, but by some minor miracle, a proper HD version of the TV movie, if they were able to get the actual negatives and be like, right,
that
you can
be
remaster
cool.
it and you can upscale the CGI.
Maybe for the actual, for the set... You know, it's not think about how many discs you do.
Yeah.
But maybe each set has like a sort of documentary for the disc.
Mm.
And that is the main thing.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is just archive. Like
yeah.
So the Silver Nemesis documentary, if that's, you know, that isn't on the set for that series.
Yeah.
That should go on there.
That should go on there. I imagine that would go on season 25.
Yeah, if they can get the rights for it.
I mean, there is a lot of stuff to populate a Wilderness Years box set. I'm really excited at the prospect of a Wilderness Years box set because I know some people are like, oh, well, it's just going to be bits of all tap.
No.
But I think, you know, especially for us, that was the sort of stuff that we would, I don't know about you, we would get the call from mum and dad downstairs saying, Doctor Who's on the telly. Doctor Who's on the
telly. And then you'd come, There's a Dalek on the telly.
You know, that was it.
That Kit Kat advert's on quick. And then you'd see by the time you go down the staircase.
Like, bollocks. Oh dear, I think I've just given myself a hernia.
I was going to say, your back's bad anyway.
Yeah,
I
got
a back. Doing that.
Got bad legs now. Yeah, so I think any of that stuff would be... I'm really looking forward to that. What would the cover be like, though? It would have to be... Paul McGann would be front
I think it has
and center.
To be a big photo montage.
And so then what do you have down the bottom? Like
Sylph from Tom. The TV movie. Tom from Dimensions in Time.
Dimensions in Time. If we can please...
Yeah, that'll be on
get
there.
Dimensions in Time.
And all the Noel linking stuff.
All that stuff.
Could you even maybe put some replica 3D glasses in there?
Oh, that'd be good.
A 3D version and a 2D version. And then, like, the extended version with all the missing... Yeah. All the cut bits.
Yeah.
If they can... I mean... They'd have the rights now to use the Daleks in it retrospectively. Yes, so
true.
The use of the Daleks in it, because there was a Dalek on
there
the set.
There was a Dalek there,
So something like that would be really cool.
Oh, that'd be good. Maybe do two cuts of it. Maybe do like the cut that went out.
Yeah, release the GNT cut.
And then do a cut where like, right, we'll try and make it almost like it's a proper episode of Doctor Who. And
I like it.
Less wanky fluff.
Good idea.
You know, put the actual Sylvester McCoy music over the top and... Like you said, extend it, add the extended scenes in.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Like the Ian Levine edit that he says he's got.
Yeah.
Big Finish come to you and say that you can make any box set of your choice. What do you do? That's from Matt Bevan.
Oh my God.
You do Fugitive Doctor.
Yeah, I guess you would, wouldn't you?
You know?
Yeah.
I can't really think of many other aspects.
I was going to say, there's not really a lot that hasn't been done, is there, really?
No. Things you didn't even know you didn't want, they do.
Yeah. Things I don't want, they do. I don't know. I honestly, there's so much stuff that they do that nothing really springs to mind other than Fugitive Doctors.
Yeah.
Really the only sort of unmined thing. Oh, I've got one.
Mm.
A Avalon.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so it's all Sylvester McCoy is playing the Merlin Doctor.
That would be really cool.
And it's all set in that other universe.
I like that.
That would be why they haven't done that yet. I have no idea. And you could have like Brigadier Bambera's in it, but she's like not the Brigadier, she's like the man at arms of some like mystical army
and all
this sort of stuff. Yeah.
I like that.
There we are.
Nice one.
Come on, Big Finish.
Martin on Twitter, what do you think is the most underrated Chibnall era story?
The most underrated.
Thus far.
Ooh. Oh, God. I can't really remember what stories are what, though.
I'd say the Sinanga Conundrum.
Mm.
Witchfinders is good as well. I don't think
I love the
People talked about that a lot when it first came out, but I feel like nobody really mentions it anymore.
Alan Cumming, he was great. Man,
great. Really good.
Underrated. Yeah.
I know people really don't like Kablam anymore.
I didn't really like Kablam at the time. It was okay.
I think it's the messaging that people have a problem with now, isn't it? It's just like, because it's on the side of the big corporations and it's on the side of Amazon and that sort of thing. I think that's why people aren't really that fond of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of an underrated story. They either seem to be good or shit.
Or shit. It's really interesting. There's no middle ground there for you.
Yeah, not really.
Mm.
I mean, like, I know people hate Orphan 55.
You don't mind, but you don't
but
mind
But I don't
it.
Mind it.
Like, well, that would be a significant
so I
one,
guess,
I'd say.
I guess that would be all right. Like, I prefer Orphan 55 over Praxeus. I think Praxeus is dog shit.
Really?
I hate it, yeah. I hate it.
I think it's worth it for the effect of them exploding. It's so
horrible. Oh, that's cool. I've literally forgotten the story.
Missed the trick not having sea devils involved.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or Autons.
We've got it now. We've got it. Oh, yeah, or Autons.
It
makes perfect sense.
It was already plastic stuff. It was like, why would you not have the Autons in it?
This is a great question. If you could have two monsters meet in an episode like Army of Ghosts / Doomsday, who would they be?
I've got my answer. Have you got an answer?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, what's your answer?
Cataclysmic, universe-ending confrontation. Omega versus Sutek.
Oh, that's cool.
And the universe is caught in the middle.
I like that.
Two massive, powerful beings. Oh, and the really universe good, is caught in the crossfire of it. Because they're from, it's kind of the dark time.
Fenric
versus Sutekh.
Yeah.
Or something crazy like that.
That'd be really good. I do like that idea. My one was going to be Sontarans versus Ice Warriors, and I did it, so.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I remember at the time people saying like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't they meet?
Another Dalek Civil War. I'd be happy with another Dalek Civil War storyline.
Rather than the damp squib that was Revolution of the Daleks.
Classic Daleks.
Versus
new series Daleks.
Yeah.
Because they'd still look great.
Yeah.
They'd still look great.
What they should
camera.
Do is, they should have classic Daleks versus new series Daleks. And then at the end, they become friends and they go, and they merge together. And then they come out as those nice, those really good ones that Prydonian is...
Yeah.
On,
the blue purified.
Blue, the purified ones.
Oh, they're so cool.
Oh, they're so good.
So cool.
The best Daleks.
Would be baffled if they were not contacted at least to go like, well, can we maybe pinch that idea slightly? Because it's the
he's put like the solar slats around the side. He's even got like solar panel sort of material to it. It's like, oh, it's so clever. So good.
So cool. If you were offered the position of showrunner, what new direction would you like to take the show in? For example, would you shake up the format of how the stories were told, a bit like Flux did? I think I'd basically do Flux.
I'd certainly keep it serialized.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Maybe you could do, like, maybe a looser serialization across the whole series.
Yeah.
So more like what you'd get with, like, a Bad Wolf or a Torchwood. Yeah. But you have...
Every episode ends with a cliffhanger. In the Hartnell era.
I've always wanted to do... 6 stories, 2 parts each, 12 episodes a year. You get 12 weeks of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So it kind of, and a Christmas special.
Yeah.
You know, that would be fine. Be happy with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think in terms of formatting, that's probably the one that I'd go for. And then the last one. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of Doctor Who actors? Anyone from companions to one-off characters? Should we do the Rod... Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rod.
The Mount Rod. Khalid.
Khalid's
on there. Who else? Who else is on the Mount Rodmore?
Just because we've mentioned it so much lately, I think Ursula should be one of those paving stones as you walk up.
As you walk up the steps to it. Okay, fine. Yeah, I like that. Or like where they have a row of like presidents where they've pressed their hands into like concrete and it's just Ursula there. That'd be great.
Hello.
Who else? Who else would be on the Mount Rushmore?
Tom.
Yeah, but we're talking about like that's a different question.
But
if
like
you're
Tom,
Mount Rushmore,
nineties Tom.
Nineties Tom.
Nineties Tom.
Superannuation Tom.
Tom, yeah.
Superannuation Tom is on there. There's gotta be something. Gary Downey. No. the Rod related kind of ones.
Yeah.
Stephen Moffat.
Stephen Moffat. Stephen
Moffat's on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen Moffat's definitely on there. How many people are on Mount Rushmore?
I don't know, 4, 5?
4, 5.
Let's say 4.
Let's say 4. Khalid.
Khalid. Stephen Moffat.
Stephen Moffat. This is a killer's row.
Nine is Tom Baker.
Superannuation Tom Baker. And K-9 from the Australian K-9 series. Just his head jutting out of the mountain. That'll do.
Fine.
Thank you very
much. Someone on the internet, Photoshop that right now.
Cheers, Frenchy. That was a very good question. I like that one.
That was Silver Nemesis, Closing Time, and your wonderful questions. Thank you very much.
Send them in.
Yeah, thank you for that. That was really good. We had a good laugh at that.
Indeed.
We had a good laugh at Closing Time. and we had a good laugh at Silver Nemesis, but mainly Closing Time.
Mainly Closing Time.
But yes, thank you ever so much for watching and listening, or listening and watching, depending on what you're doing. Or if you're watching it, you're doing both, aren't you?
Yeah,
listening
good
to
for
it
you.
Too. And you're clever.
So I'm so really desperate. What? go on.
Never mind. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. See you next time.